Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Dear friends of Christ, Christ is risen. You know, it really feels good to say those words again and to have the hymn of praise back again. As we sing the hymn of praise from Revelation chapter 7, that is the song that all of us sing. One day our bodies will rise from the grave. And Revelation says, we will be that great throng from every language, from every nation, from every people. And we'll say, glory and honor and praise and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia means praise Yahweh. And this is appropriate for today. Because Christ is risen, we're able to say, Alleluia. For 40 days, we haven't said those words. They disappeared during Lent. It's like trying to snifle a sneeze, and finally we can let it out, right? Alleluia. Praise God. And that's certainly, Jesus has done it. He's accomplished his task. Paul writes, he was delivered up for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. He also writes, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And again, Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And again, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And I could go on and on and on and on. There's one whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, called the resurrection chapter. Is the resurrection important? Is the resurrection a big deal? As the hymn writer says, what comfort this sweet sentence gives, I know that my Redeemer lives. But I want to back up for a moment. Okay, it all started in a cemetery. They went to visit a tomb. And we've all been there at a graveside. We've all been at the graveside standing by a casket of someone we love, and that casket has hovered above the hole in the ground. We think about our loved one inside the casket, the body. We grieve. Some even hang around to watch the body lowered into the ground, with broken hearts and tearful eyes. We deal with all that. You've been there. You know the feeling. We know what it's like, the veil of tears, the brokenness. With tearful eyes, we've been there too. There have been many tears shed in the cemetery. The cemetery always seems to have the last word, and even God's word affirms this reality. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins will surely die. 35 years ago, I gave my first Easter sermon in a cemetery at St. John's Lutheran Church in Oberlin, Kansas. I don't know. I was a young seminarian. I thought it'd be a good idea. The church had a cemetery, and it was no longer by the church. They'd moved the church into town, but I thought it'd be a good idea to have the sunrise service at the cemetery. Six people showed up. Not as many people thought it was as good of an idea as I thought. But six people stood out there freezing cold. There was no heat. It was so cold we couldn't move our lips. And we sat beneath the brilliant sunshine amongst all those tombs, and we proclaimed the reality, Christ is risen. And what a powerful place to be on Easter morning. I don't know if you've ever been in a grave, by a tombstone in a cemetery on Easter morning. To be able to confess the resurrection of the body. All our loved ones that are buried in those graves are going to come back to life. Turns out a cemetery is a pretty good place to celebrate Easter. And as we sat there, surrounded by all the gravestones, realizing all the saints of God that had in our congregation praised God, and even the ones long since passed, the names which were no longer familiar. And yet we stood among the dead saints of the Lord, singing the song, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And the angel pops up and talks to the women at the graveside. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Go to the cemetery sometime. Stand among the tombstones. Take in your surroundings of who's there and the prospect that one day you might be there too. And ask yourself the question. Who seeks the living among the dead?" And so our theme for this morning. Can you? Can you seek the living among the dead? Luckily, as we worship in that cemetery, there were no earthquakes, but there was an earthquake that first Easter morning. An earthquake, you know, that's a big deal. And usually where there's one earthquake, there's two. And there were two. There was the earthquake on the day in which Christ died. 3 in the afternoon, he breathed his last, "It is finished," and the earth shook. And when he rose, the earth shook again. You think God knows what he's doing? Two earthquakes perfectly timed to show that Christ's death and resurrection are connected in a very powerful way. Literally, the two moments, his death and resurrection, the most important moments in all human history. And they're bound with an earthquake. And then the angel shows up to tell us what's going on. Matthew explains that the angel was bright, shining, white as light, white as the snow. Death had been defeated. And the angel reveals this truth. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus among the dead who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen." Can we seek the living among the dead? Yes, we can. The resurrection of Jesus proves it. Death has lost its sting. Christ lives. The cemetery, it's not a place of terror. It's not a place of Halloween. It's a place where the resting saints are sleeping. Shh. Going to wake up someday, and you'll be among them, because Christ is hidden in you. I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ hidden in you. When Christ, our epistle says, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The living Christ hidden in you. Is that a big deal? The living Christ hidden in you. No, I can't see him. I can't prove it. But Scripture says, for you have died to your sin. You have died in Christ, and his life is hidden in you. In you. That's what Paul tells us. We are dead in sin. Can we seek the living among the dead? Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. If he had not risen physically, he could not come to you today in bread and wine. If he had not risen physically, he could not come today to touch you with his presence so that Christ could be hidden in you, to give you his body, to give you his blood, to give you his life, to give you that hope. He's risen just as he said. Just as he said, oh yeah, let's not pass those words up. He had said it over and over again to his disciples, as I said in my earlier service, the sunrise service. Over and over again, Jesus had told his disciples, I am going to die and after 3 days rise again. How daft can they be to not have gotten it? But who does that? Who predicts their own death? Not only predicting your own death, but to predict your own resurrection? Unheard of. Unparalleled. I will die, and after 3 days, I will rise. God is in human flesh. And he overcame sin, and he overcame the grave. Jesus put death to death. Can we seek the living among the dead? Yes, we can. And it happened, just as he said. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means that you have Christ living in you. It means that you're the temple of God. Jesus Christ in his human flesh dwells in you. As you eat his body and you drink his blood, you become the temple of the Lord. The temple in the Old Testament. The temple in which Christ and God dwelled in the Holy of Holies. You're the Holy of Holies. Easter happens in you. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. And none of that could happen without the resurrection. His body had to rise to be hidden in you. And the resurrection proves it. Christians all around the world are proclaiming this reality this morning. All around the world, billions of them. Are we willing to stake our eternal souls on this historic reality? Can we seek the living among the dead? Does Christ really dwell where sin dwells? Our bodies are dead in sin. Is there really life here? Can we seek the living among the dead? We do if we take God at his word. And this morning, that's what I want you to do. I want you to hear God's word. I want you to cling to God's word. I want you to believe in God's word. Unfortunately, we don't do that. So often, we don't even want to hear God's word. We don't want to listen to God's word. We don't want to learn God's word. We don't want to follow Christ in his word. We don't want to obey Christ in his word. Forget the Ten Commandments in our society. Forget the Ten Commandments in our culture, in our generation. But just look around. Listen to all the madness. See the depravity. See the darkness. See the people and their anger and frustration. Are you paying attention to how they're lashing out? The discouraging effects of our culture are screaming one truth. See Christ. Cling to him. Cling to his word. In his words, Jesus said, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and their life. 1 John, in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. John 3, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John 5, whoever hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life. John 6, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him on the last day. John 10, I'll give them eternal life. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you get it yet? I could go on with many more quotes. So I ask you, can we seek the living among the dead? Yes. And we can join Peter confidently confessing, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and we've come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I don't know if you know it yet, but Easter changes us. It changes who we are. It changes how we think. It changes what we confess. It changes how we live. The good news of Easter touches our lives. It puts us on our knees. makes us different because of the realities. Matthew tells us that the women there at the Easter left the tomb. They were different. They came in fear. They left, the Bible says, filled with fear and joy. Those are strange partners. Fear and joy. I think maybe we can kind of understand how it works. Many of us go through life the same way. There are moments we're fearful and joyful at the same time. We don't know exactly what tomorrow is going to bring. We live in a fallen, sinful world. There's all kinds of difficulties out there. Challenges, tears, sin and Satan, they have their way among us. The darkness, it deals with us. The culture sets her path against the Lord. And no matter how severely we've sinned, we live in a fallen, sinful world that's trying to lure us away from God, lure us away from Christ, lure us away from faith. Yeah, that's a fearful side. But there's a joyful side. We know Christ is risen. It's a day of hallelujahs. We live in that joy of His promise, the joy of His presence, and it doesn't matter how often we've sinned, doesn't matter how severely you have sinned, it doesn't matter what your past, Christ has died and risen again for you, to be hidden in you, to make you His body, to make you His temple, so that you can cling to God's word. And the women at the tomb were filled with joy. They heard Jesus speak, "Greetings. Greetings to you." It sounds like aliens coming off a spaceship, doesn't it? Greetings, earthlings. Now, in English, it really doesn't hold much weight, but the word greetings is far more weightier than that, goes much more deeper. Maybe the better word to say would be goodbye. You know where we got goodbye from? Goodbye comes from that word, from the three words, "God be with ye." Goodbye. God be with you. I think that gets to the greetings. When Jesus greeted them at His resurrection, His greeting actually means rejoice. God be with you. Be ye glad. It's Easter. Greetings. Be ye glad. Rejoice. Why? Because you live in this truth. Can we seek the living among the dead? Yes, we can, because of Jesus. Rejoice in Him. He's covered all your sins. He's washed them all away. He's paid the price so that you can live. Believe that, know that, and then come. Come to this rail to receive the body, to receive the blood, to receive the power, and to know the promise. So you can live in that Easter joy. It's all here for you. His body given for you. His blood shed for you. The Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.